Would you pray with me? Father, thank you this morning that you have made a way, that you're calling us to yourself. Jesus, thank you that you're the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through you. Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you for your grace in our lives, your forgiveness. I pray this morning that every person here would feel your touch, your compassion, your healing, your restoration, the work that only you can do. We invite you to transform us, to transform our church, to fill us with your life, Jesus. May we lay hold of you and believe in you and put our hope in you. And may you be free to do your miracles in us and through us for your glory. We pray for that in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Well, good morning. I'm Pastor JP. If you are a guest this morning, thanks so much for being at Crossline. We really appreciate it. We believe that every person is on a spiritual journey. You're not here by accident. God has a plan for every one of us as we're gathered here for worship. And if you're here because someone invited you as a guest, or maybe you and on your own know that there's something that you're searching for, we're so glad that you've come here, because we hope and we pray that you'll find the answer, and the answer is in Jesus Christ, because Jesus is God's everything to us. We're in a series called The Man, the Myth, the Legend, and we're talking about getting to know the real Jesus. Who is the real Jesus, and why does it matter that we get to know the real Jesus? Last week, we talked about the fact that the real Jesus is the promised Messiah. And today, we're discovering together that the real Jesus is the compassionate healer. Compassion is a powerful word, and it's a powerful concept to consider that Jesus, that God would feel compassion towards us. I think that every one of us, wherever we've been in our own journey, would really latch on to the hope that we could feel God's compassion. If it's real, if it's true, and God feels that way towards us, I think we'd all want to get in on it. Because I know in an audience this size, there's some of us here, even this morning, we are in the midst of experiencing the heartbreak of a broken relationship. There's some of us here are in the midst of experiencing the verge of divorce. There's some of us here who are experiencing the pain of depression. There's some of us here who just got a word from a doctor that it's malignant. There's some of us here who are feeling the discouragement of an up and down spiritual experience. It seems like the Christian life maybe works for other people, but it hadn't been working for us. There's some of us who are doubting whether God really cares about us. There's some of us here this morning who are so filled with anxiety, with the questions and confusion before us, we just don't know if there's any hope. We need compassion. We need to know that the God of the universe sees us. He knows us. He cares about us. He feels compassion for us. There's some of us here who are experiencing the power of Jesus' transformation in our lives. There's some of us here who are walking in the new life that Jesus has come to give us. There's some of us here who are experiencing the hope of answered prayer. We too need to know God is for us, and that Jesus feels compassion for us, and that Jesus is the healer. Jesus is the compassionate healer. Every one of us needs to know the real Jesus. In the scriptures, when you analyze the gospels, the four gospels, and look at the life of Christ, you see that this term compassion is used over and over again to describe the motive of Jesus, the inner life of Jesus. Jesus is a man of compassion. The ancient people, they described feeling something a little different than we do. We talk about feeling something with all of our heart, but the ancient people kind of felt it more in the gut, and the word for the inner parts was the Greek word splagna, and the term compassion literally takes that word and just makes it into a verb and says there's a moving on the inside. You just kind of feel something with all of your inner being. See, the word compassion is a strong word. It's like empathy, it's like sympathy, but it's even stronger than that. It's a word that moves you to emotion and to action. I think most of us here at some point in our life, we've felt that. We understand that. We've had that kind of feeling towards some kind of crisis or a need that somebody has. I remember on one of my first trips to Haiti, I'm going again with the women's trip. I'm going to go back again in November. I was talking with Dave Brodsky, our elder over missions. I think this is my 17th or 18th trip to Haiti. We started going right after the earthquake, and at that time, the devastation was far more visible. I mean, Haiti continues to be a fourth world country, but right after the earthquake, there were hundreds of thousands of people who lost their lives in Haiti, and they were still picking up the bodies, and the rubble was everywhere. There were so many displaced people and homeless people, and part of our ministry was sharing the compassion of Jesus and the gospel and food, because people were literally starving. And there's an area in Port-au-Prince called the Cathedral area. The buildings were all smashed. People are just literally just sleeping out on the road. And we were there giving out food. To many of these people, the meal that we gave out was the only food they had for several days. They didn't eat a couple of days before. They weren't going to eat the days afterwards. That was it. And so we were praying for people and giving out food. And there was a woman and her baby. She had her little baby with her. And she came up and I prayed for her. And she, with tears, she kept holding her baby out like this to me, and so I placed my hand on her child's head and prayed for her child, and she kept doing this, and so I asked the translator what she was saying, and she was saying, take my baby, there's no hope here, take my baby back to America. It was like I didn't even process it. Just the tears just began to flow out of my eyes as I just prayed for her. What I was feeling was compassion. She was desperate. The Bible says that's the way Jesus felt every time he saw a human being in need. Every time he saw somebody in need, he felt compassion. It was this overwhelming sense of understanding and sympathy and a concern, and then a reaching out to do something about it. Mark 1:41 says, move with compassion. Jesus reached out his hand. He touched the leper. He said, I'm willing, be cleansed. Luke 7:13, when the Lord saw the woman, he had compassion for her, and he said, do not cry. Mark 6:34, Jesus stepped ashore. He saw a huge crowd. He had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. Mark 8:2, Jesus said, I have compassion on this crowd. They've been with me for 3 days. They have nothing to eat. Matthew 9:36, when he saw the crowds, he felt compassion for them, because he saw them as weary and worn out, like sheep without a shepherd. Matthew 14:14, Jesus stepped ashore. He saw a huge crowd. He felt compassion for them, and he healed the sick. Matthew 20:34, move with compassion. Jesus touched their eyes, and immediately they regained their sight and followed him. Move with compassion. When Jesus saw people, he felt compassion for them. When he saw the broken, he felt compassion for them. When he saw the people who are emotionally bankrupt, he felt compassion for them. When he saw the blind, he felt compassion for them. When he saw the sick and diseased, he felt compassion for them. When he saw people in bondage to demonic spirits, he felt compassion for them. And when he just saw the crowd, the crowd, not the people who were up front responding to the invitation, but the people who felt pretty good about what was going on. They felt fairly sufficient. He felt compassion for them too. Jesus feels compassion for every person here. Whether you feel like you're at the top of your game or you're about ready to call it quits, Jesus feels compassion. He feels compassion towards us. It says in Matthew 9:36, when he saw the crowd, he felt compassion for them because they were weary and worn out like sheep without a shepherd. You see, Jesus sees our hearts. Jesus sees the deepest part of us. He sees our hurts. He sees our needs. He sees our longings. He sees our desires. He sees our regrets. He sees our failures. He sees our hopes. He sees every part of us. And he feels compassion. Now think about that. It doesn't say he feels anger, frustration. Why can't you get it together? And it doesn't say he felt nothing. He was just dispassionate. I'm on a mission. I came to live a perfect, sinless life, to die on the cross, to rise from the dead, and I'm on my mission, and I'm going to accomplish it. So don't get in my way. No, he feels compassion. He's not dispassionate. He's compassionate. If you're not convinced of that, consider this. Luke chapter 15, Jesus comes to a Pharisee's house, and a woman off the street comes in, begins to just fall down before him and weep, and with her tears, she washes his feet. The Pharisee can't believe that Jesus would let this happen. He said, don't you know anything about this woman? Because if you did, you wouldn't let her touch your feet. And Jesus says, you know, God loves sinners. And the person who's been forgiven much loves much. In fact, let me tell you three stories to reinforce this truth that God loves sinners. And he tells the story of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. Now, the lost son, we call the story of the prodigal son. But in each of the stories, the focus is not on that which is lost, it's on the response of the one who finds that which is lost. There's rejoicing, because what Jesus is trying to say is God rejoices when someone who's lost is found, because God loves people, God loves sinners. So the prodigal son, he's off feeding pigs and thinks, my life is the worst it possibly can get. I'm going to go back to my father's house and beg his forgiveness. So he comes back. He's working on his apology plea as he's working back. It says the father is standing there and sees him. And Luke 15:20 says, when he got up, that's the prodigal, to his father, the son was a long way off. The father saw him. He was filled with compassion and ran and threw his arms around his neck and kissed him. So this is Jesus, the man of compassion, talking about God, how God sees us, and the way God sees us, he's filled with compassion. Any one of us here, whether we're an up and outer or a down and outer, if we'll turn to the Lord this morning, if we'll say, God, help me, you know God's response is? Compassion. Jesus is the man of compassion, and Jesus is a healer. In fact, he's the healer. Several times in the Gospels, that's the way he was referred to by people on the street. The healer has come here. That's the way they thought about Jesus. He was the healer. In fact, there are over 25 specific occasions recorded in the Gospels of Jesus healing people, specific individuals who had an encounter with Jesus, and Jesus healed them. There's the nobleman's son. There's the man who had an unclean spirit. There's Peter's mother-in-law. There's the leper on the side of the road. There's the paralytic. There's the man who was laying beside the pool in Bethesda but couldn't get into the water because other people beat him into the water. There was the man with the withered hand who came to Jesus. There was the servant of the Roman centurion. There was the son of the widow who had passed away. There was the demoniac in the Gadarenes. There was the woman who came to Jesus who had an issue of blood. There was the daughter of Jairus, the synagogue official. There were two blind men by the side of the road. There was a man who was possessed by a demon and couldn't speak. There was the daughter of the woman who was a Gentile, a Canaanite woman. There was the man who could not hear and who had a speech impediment. There was the blind man in Bethesda. There was the epileptic boy who kept throwing himself into the fire and his father brought him to Jesus. There was the man who was blind and possessed of a demon. There was a woman who was bent over and couldn't stand up straight. There was a man who had some type of nerve paralysis. There was Lazarus who had died. There were the 10 lepers who came to Jesus to be healed. There was Bartimaeus who was blind by the side of the road. And then there was the servant of the high priest named Malchus who in the Garden of Gethsemane, Peter reached out with his sword and cut off his ear, and Jesus touched his head and restored his ear. Over 25 specific occasions. So Jesus healed people with general sickness, with evil spirits, with leprosy, with paralysis, with withered limbs, with high fever, with deafness. He healed the mute. He healed the blind. He healed people who had issues of blood. He healed unnamed diseases. He restored severed ears, and he raised people from the dead. There are, in addition to that, about 15 passages that just describe the general ministry of Jesus healing the sick and casting out demons and forgiving people's sins. An example is Matthew chapter 4. It says in Matthew 4:23, Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them. Large crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region across the Jordan followed him. When you take the 25-plus encounters of Jesus with specific individuals, and then you add to that the 15 passages describing Jesus' ministry of healing, over one-fifth of all four of the Gospels are devoted to the circumstances, the people, and the results of Jesus' healing ministry. That's a lot of Bible verses. In fact, there's more in the Gospels about Jesus encountering people and healing them than there are about Jesus encountering people and saving them, forgiving their sins. Did you hear that? There's more in the Gospels of Jesus in his healing ministry than in his gospel preaching ministry. This was a major part of Jesus, the promised Messiah. He's the compassionate healer. The compassionate healer. Jesus healed people to demonstrate that he was the Messiah, the Son of God, and Jesus healed people because he felt compassion. It is a lie for us to think that God doesn't care. The truth is God cares about us. He cares about you. He cares about what's going on. Here's the difference. When I encountered that baby and that woman in Haiti, I cared. I just couldn't do anything about it. Jesus cares, and he can do something about it. He's the compassionate healer. Matthew chapter 9 is an interesting passage. There's a few of them like this in the Gospels. But it's a day in the life of Jesus. It begins when Jesus comes into town and he starts speaking. And there's a big crowd who wants to hear him. And some guys hear that Jesus is speaking, the healer. And they got a buddy who's paralyzed. And they go, we got to get this guy to Jesus. So there's four of them, and they put the guy on a mat, and they try to get him into Jesus, but there's no room because of the crowd. So they go around behind the house. They get up on the roof. They're able to kind of move around the way those ancient roofs were built. They're thatch roofs, and they moved it around and got a hole, and they dropped the guy right in front of Jesus. And seeing, this is right at the beginning of Matthew chapter 9, and seeing the guy, Jesus says, my son, your sins are forgiven. Because see, Jesus saw his deepest need. And the deepest need of every person is spiritual. The deepest need of every person here is spiritual. And Jesus, the compassionate healer, can heal that by forgiving our sins. Well, the Pharisees in the crowd, they took offense because they said, who can forgive sins but God alone? So Jesus said, in order that you may know that the Son of Man, the Messiah, has authority on earth to forgive sins, I say to you, and he looked back down at that paralyzed guy, he said, get up and walk. See, because no one could verify whether or not his sins were forgiven, but if you say to someone, get up and walk, they either get up and walk or they don't. And the guy got up, and the crowd was amazed. And Jesus healed him. And from there, he healed two blind guys. And then he cast out demons from people. And then he preached that it's not the healthy who need a physician, it's the sick. And I've come to call the sick and heal the sick. He works his way all the way in Matthew chapter 9 to verse 35. And now, this is a day in the life of Jesus. And so Matthew, who is writing this, recording this, says, then Jesus went to all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and every sickness. He was teaching and preaching and healing everywhere. That's just what he did. Next verse, verse 36. And when he saw the crowds, these crowds of people, he's going in and he's just walking into a town and he's teaching and preaching and he's healing and he's setting people free from bondage. When he saw the crowds, he felt compassion for them because they were weary and worn out, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is abundant, but the workers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest field. And Jesus called his 12 disciples to him, and he gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. And to the 12 apostles, Jesus sent out and said, as you go, proclaim the message, the kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. This is a day in the life of Jesus. It begins with him forgiving the sins of a paralyzed man and then raising him up and healing him. And it continued on with Jesus proclaiming the gospel and healing the sick and setting people free from demonic oppression and proclaiming that he's come for this purpose, not to call the righteous, but to call sinners and to bring healing to the sick. And then it says, what drove all of that? What was the motivation or what was the driving force within Jesus? He saw people as worn out. Ever feel emotionally worn out? Spiritually worn out? Physically worn out? And weary. And he felt compassion. He felt compassion. Jesus sees us and he feels compassion. And not only that, he took this as a teachable moment. So he took his 12 guys and he said, look at that crowd. The same crowd he just said that were weary and worn out like sheep without a shepherd. The same crowd that he felt compassion for. And he said to the guys that he was training, the harvest is plentiful. The workers are few. In fact, right now, it's just me. So pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into this harvest field. And before they could say in Jesus' name, amen, he says, oh, by the way, I'm sending you. And this is what I'm sending you to do and with the authority to see happen. To drive out impure spirits, to heal every disease and sickness, to proclaim the message that the kingdom of heaven has come, to heal the sick. Jesus sent his men out to reproduce the ministry that he was having. What kind of ministry? A ministry of compassion. To do what? To proclaim the gospel, to bring healing to the sick. That's what Jesus does. He's the compassionate healer. You don't have to be destitute in Haiti to be a candidate for the compassion and healing of Jesus. In fact, you might be the affluent of South Orange County. Because the way Jesus sees people is he sees every one of us in need of his touch for compassion and for healing. And he is the compassionate healer. You know, Several weeks ago, we finished our study in the book of James, Just Do It, and we were in James chapter 5, and there was a passage in James chapter 5 that says, if anyone is sick, let him call for the elders of the church, and the prayer of faith and the anointing of oil will raise them up and heal those who are sick. And so we read that passage, and we unpacked it a little bit, and I confess to you that there are questions I have about healing that I don't have the answers to, but I know the Bible says we should ask Jesus because Jesus is the one who heals. And so we just did what the Bible said, and we had our elders come up here and invited anyone who wanted prayer to be prayed for by our elders and to be anointed with oil. And it was a powerful worship experience, powerful for our elders and powerful for people who got prayed for, and powerful for all of us to see that we're putting God's word into practice and calling on God to do what only God can do, and for us to do what we're supposed to do. Only God can heal. What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to pray and ask. I received this email this past week. Dear Pastor JP, first of all, God bless you and our church, Crossline Church. We met the other day on the patio, and I mentioned to you about my wife, Valeria, and we have been praying for her almost every day since mid-July when she found out that she had a thyroid gland disorder. It was quite a surprise, and the pain she was feeling grew very fast. She could not sleep correctly. She would feel pain and discomfort while swallowing, among many other things. Since she has a thyroid gland history of problems in the family, we went to the Laguna Beach Clinic and had her examined. The doctor requested a simple ultrasound exam, no need for a biopsy, just to see if the glands were dilated and if there were any nodules. We went to the Crown Valley Radiology Clinic on July the 16th. Please see the attachments. He put all the attachments of the medical appointments and their results in this email. The results were devastating to us. It stated that she had multiple glands that were dilated and that on the right thyroid gland, the area was very large and heterogeneous. There was a growth, non-thyroid growth. To our total surprise, on the next Sunday service at Crossline, you mentioned the story about the great lady that used to pray for you in all of our church. That's Minnie McFarlane. And you mentioned that one day she told you about a vision that she had during her prayers that you would someday, through Jesus and our Lord, be able to bring healing to the sick people at our church. And then you told a story of how you were in Africa and you had so much hope in prayer and heart to pray for a child with several birth defects. You prayed so hard and so willing, but when you opened your eyes, nothing had happened. The child was still there uncured. And you told us how the Lord does things at in his time, which is always the right time and the right place for us, and that perhaps that was not the right time or moment for that miracle to happen. Then you went ahead and told us that one of the interpreters in Haiti during one of your preachings told you that during your service, he had a vision of this lady that told him that you would be bringing healing one day and that you'd be able to help people and bring the Lord's miracles to cure their sickness because Jesus would heal them. I and my wife prayed and cried in that service because we felt the message seemed to be for us at Crossline. And we go every Sunday. The result of the first ultrasound done on July 16th stated clearly that she had a serious thyroid problem. Therefore, we returned to the Laguna Beach Clinic and immediately, see the biopsy attachments, requested a needle biopsy of the thyroid glands because her doctor wanted more information, wanted the lab to take samples of the glands because he thought that she had a malignant cancer. We continued to pray and attend Crossline. Valeria started to feel better, but she was under pain medication, so we thought to pray and think positively. The biopsy was scheduled for August 21st. We went to Saddleback Valley Radiology. I walked to the counter and prepaid the $700 before the biopsy was actually taken using my credit card because I had to leave Valeria there and come back to the DMV for an appointment. It was very close. I was very surprised when Valeria called me and said, please come back here. I need to tell you something wonderful. She said, they did a biopsy, they searched, and they did an ultrasound for more than 30 minutes. All my thyroid glands, there's absolutely no dilation, no gland dysfunction, nothing. So the Saddleback Clinic reimbursed me the entire $700. To our surprise, after a couple of weeks, Valeria woke up one day and said, "I'm not taking any of this medicine anymore. I simply do not even feel any pain or discomfort on my thyroid. There's no dilation. I can swallow normally." I believe it was a miracle. And we all have reasons to believe that it is just too much of a coincidence, because all of this happened exactly on the two services that you mentioned that one day Crossline would bring healing to the sick. I have so many questions that I look forward to an eternity with Jesus, asking and hearing him teach me about prayer, about faith, about healing. This is what I know. Jesus is the compassionate healer. He invites us to ask him to work in our lives. He feels compassion for us right now. He feels compassion for every person in this room. Some of us, we desperately need the healing of Jesus. Every one of us needs to feel his compassion. We want to close our worship service with the opportunity for us to experience what the Bible teaches, that Jesus is the compassionate healer. I've asked our prayer team and some of our elders to be here. If you just want to come up to the front, we're going to have a time of prayer. If you need healing, we want to enter into prayer with you and ask our compassionate healer to heal you. If you just need to feel the compassion of Jesus, we want to pray for you that that would be real and that Jesus would take away any barrier that's stopping you from feeling how much he loves you and cares for you. If this morning, for the very first time, you need to call upon Jesus, the compassionate healer, to heal you of your sins and forgive you and restore you to God, this is an invitation for you to come up and joyfully enter in to an eternal relationship with Jesus, the compassionate healer. In fact, could everyone just stand right now? Because I want to pray, and then it's an invitation for you to allow us to pray for you to experience Jesus' healing and Jesus' compassion. As we bow our heads, could we just raise a hand in the air of faith? Jesus, our trust is in you. It's not in ourselves. It's not in a formula. We don't make any claim. We don't know your will. We know you. You're the compassionate healer. And so it's our heart's desire that every person here would feel your compassion, would experience your healing. I pray there be people that the burden of their soul would just be lifted. The anxiety of their heart would be taken away. The pain in their bodies would be completely removed. That your resurrection life would flow into people, and that everyone would know you and your compassion. May you be glorified as we seek you and find you, because we search for you with all of our hearts. And we pray for that in Jesus' name. Amen.